Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on Jesus' head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, make room. Make room. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Give me some room." Tell him, "Back up, back up. Give me," no, don't say, don't tell them that. That's BC. If you're standing close enough to somebody, elbow them a little bit and tell them, "Give me some room, give me some room." You may be seated in the house of God. How many of you work on computers? You work, not your smartphone, but you actually every day, sometime during the week, you're on a computer working. I work on a computer for hours every single day. And this is my best friend when I have a computer, because I'm never in the same place for very long. This is a jump drive. How many of you know, well, some people call it a thumb drive, some people call it a flash drive. This is a jump drive. This allows us to download or to move things onto this so that we can operate somewhere else. That's good preaching already. And so when I'm at my office here and I'm getting ready to leave for the night or for the day, I will move things over that I'm working on, and I put it on this so that when I get home, a different place, I don't miss a step, I don't waste time, and I can keep working. But you know what annoys me? When they buy me a 2 gigabyte jump drive, I can't do anything with 2 gigabytes. I can't do anything with 16 or 32. I got to have, because I do a lot of graphic design, and so I got to have a lot of space. And so when I fill this up to capacity, when I try to move something new into it, I get an error screen that says your jump drive or this drive is too full. And if you want something new, you're going to have to delete something you no longer need. If that don't make you happy, I don't know if anything else I'm going to say makes you happy. Because there's sometimes I come into church and I start worshiping God. And in a worship experience, in a worship service like we just had not 15 minutes ago, it is a time for God to begin to download things in us that we are going to need to be what God has called us to be, to do what God has called us to do, to operate in a place that is not called Living Way Church. And so God expects us to come in, and when we worship, He is wanting us to get ready for a download into our spirit. But sometimes we come carrying in all the things of the world, and God says, "What I'm wanting to do in you, I can't do in you because of what you're still holding on to and what is currently in you." Sometimes it's not even bad things. Sometimes it's just clutter. Sometimes it's things you were working on in January and you've already overcome. I've come to encourage somebody today that before you worship, you need to delete some things out of your life. You need to get the distractions out of your life. You need to get the old things out of your life so that when you worship and you lift your voice to the God that created this world, He says, "There's some room. You've made some room for me to speak. You've made some room for me to move." So how do we spell worship? We don't spell it W-O-R-S-H-I-P. We spell worship with 4 letters, P-O-U-R. When I worship and when you worship, we should be pouring of ourselves out. Because when I pour of myself out, I'm now in the position and ready for God to pour something
in. I've made room for God to step in. Are you tracking with me? So then when I begin to worship and I pour out of myself, see, because this is what happens. If we come in and we are inundated with old files and we are inundated with old things and we have been filled up on the things of this world and sometimes the trash of this world and the old things, even when God pours out, we don't have capacity to receive it. And so it runs over. And the problem with it running over is if I run over, I want to run over with all the good and the great things that God is pouring out. I don't want it to hit the level that's already filled with the things from this world and run over, because that means I've been in a worship encounter, but I'm leaving with the same stuff. But when we worship and we pour ourselves out to God, when you worship, you have no rival. You have no equal. Yours is the kingdom and glory forever. When you say that, you are pouring out of yourself the good. You are pouring out of yourself the bad. You are pouring out of yourself the ugly. And you are saying, God, I have emptied myself in your presence. And I'm not leaving until I'm filled back up. I'm not leaving until you overflow me. That's why sometimes I worship God for 5 minutes, but sometimes it takes me 40 minutes in the presence of God to get rid of all of the things that I walked into his presence with and for him to fill me back up. Praise is very different than worship. Praise brings God to you. Worship brings God into you. Pray, come on now. When we talk about worship, we're not talking about a salutation of greeting that I know Jesus and he knows me. We're talking about an intimate connection that when I worship God like I'm supposed to, there is a transfer of what God has into me. And he's not just around me, but he now resides in me. And now that God resides in me, the intimate connection with God now produces something so that when I walk out of a worship service like we've just had at Living Way, I don't walk in the same way that I walked in. I walk out pregnant. Why? Because I didn't just get close to God. I allow Jesus to step into my worship, into my life, into my body. Somebody say worship. Somebody say praise. Tyler and I talk a lot about praise and worship. We'll say, Dad, I got a song you need to hear. It's awesome. I say, is it praise or worship? It's praise. I listened to it. I said, that's not praise, that's worship. He said, no, that's praise. I said, no, it's worship. And you know why we're arguing the point? How fast it is. Praise is not a fast song. Worship is not a slow song. Praise is not dependent on who's singing and how hard they're singing and are they sweating when they sing and are they strutting when they sing. And worship is a moment where we have our hands from this to now this and we all quiet down and we all get a little timid and we all get a little meek. Praise and worship are not synonymous, but they go hand in hand. But you've got to get past the point of praise being a fast song and worship being a slow song. Praise thanks God for what he's done. Worship says, God, I love you that you have no rival. You have no equal. Worship talks about who God is. And if you don't know who God is, you can't worship him. That's why some of you watch him work. That's why some of you watch them while they worship. Because even if you tried to worship, you can't worship because you can't worship a God that you don't know. I can praise you because I don't have to know you. How many of you ever heard a heathen in a time of adulation say, thank you, Jesus? Jesus had nothing to do with that, baby. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. But you can praise Jesus from afar. I don't have to be close to him to praise him. Why? Because my praise brings him to me. But how disappointed is Jesus when people praise him, but they don't worship him? But praise him says, Jesus, I got something to tell you. Come close to me. And then when it's worship, we put our hands to our side. We sit down and we watch somebody else worship when the whole reason we praised God was to get him close. But the whole reason God stays and performs the miracles that he can perform is because I worship him. So we have a lot of people that, well, I'm going to praise God if it's my favorite song. I'm going to worship God if it's my favorite singer. and there's somebody that left disappointed, I'm sure, this morning, or you will leave disappointed if you don't get this message in your spirit, and you're going to say, I didn't care for that worship service today. They didn't sing my favorite songs. We are not singing them for you. We are not singing them to you. We praised God to get Jesus to leave his throne and step into our presence, but I worship God so that the God that showed up will stay and do what only God can do. Somebody say yes. Doesn't matter if you increase your capacity, if you fill yourself with the wrong things. God's promises to exceed abundance in our lives. Ephesians 3:20 says that, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. However, if we are filled to the capacity with the wrong things, it does not take much for our cup to run over. And what runs over is the good things of God, and we are left with what we walked in with. If you are filled to capacity with the wrong thing, what God pours out runs off, not in. You know what, when flooding happens, is when the ground has too much water, and it's saturated at such a level. That's why now, after the drought that we've had, and we've come through that drought, and we've had all of this rain in September, 14 or 15 inches of rain. Used to, it would take 5, 6, 7 inches of rain to bring a flood or flash flood to San Antonio. But guess what? Now it just takes 1/2 inch of rain because it's saturated. We can saturate our lives and fill them up with so many of the wrong things that even when God shows up and does what only God can do, it does not sink into us. It runs off of us. It does not fill us up, but it overflows and it goes downhill. It goes into the gutter. I'm here to encourage you. Every time you worship, you should worship and lay it all out on the line. Have nothing left when you are in this altar saying, God, I bring you my best. God, I've sacrificed. God, I've got no mascara left to cry off. I've got no makeup left on my hair don't look like it used to for me. My beard don't look like it used to when I walked in. Why? Because I worship. Worship you. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not there for them. I'm there for you. And when I get you to show up, man, worship is very different than praise. Praise makes you feel good. Worship makes you feel God. Let that sink in. Praise calls God to you. Worship calls God in you. Praise calls God. Praise calls God's presence. Listen to this. Praise calls God's presence. Worship calls God's warfare. When you say, thank you, Jesus, Jesus comes to you. And he's waiting on a worship to unleash the warfare. See, there's a warfare worship. You ever been in a Living Way service that during worship, one of the sisters, she doesn't even speak English or Spanish anymore. She just starts going, you say that's annoying. That's annoying to you, but that's worship. That's a groaning. That's the Spirit saying, God, I got you here. Now I need you to do something for me. And God, while I worship, you war. While I'm worshiping God, you're working in my family, in my job, in my money, in my ministry, whatever I need you to do. Somebody say warfare worship. Worship creates space for God to work. Talking about making room. Worship makes room for Jesus. Worship creates a space for God to work. Sometimes God shows up in our praise and says, I'd like to do everything that you would like me to do in your life, but there's simply no room for me to work. You look at the Word of God, many times Jesus had to cast people out, move people to the side, kick them out of the room because he did not have room to work because there was fear, there was doubt. Can I encourage you? You can't worry and worship at the same time. You can't doubt and worship at the same time. You can't fear and worship at the same time. When you lift your hands and you lift your voice and the God of the universe inhabits your praise and steps in the middle of your worship, all the worry, all the doubt, all the fear, all of those things cannot stay. Why? Because God has shown up. And where God is, there's no room left for anything else. Worship creates space for God to work. Worship, number two, creates a place for God to reside. The problem with praise, if I can call it a problem, is unless you praise like David continually at all times, Jesus does not stay. He stays as long as there's praise. See, marriages fall apart because relationship dies. People quit praising one another. People quit loving one another. People don't stay as close as they were. I fell out of love. You didn't fall out of love. That was your choice. You left love. So when we don't praise, the same Jesus that steps in, he said, I'm here for the praise. And praise should give birth to worship. But when praises cease and worship doesn't begin, Jesus steps back out. But for the worshipers, worship is not just a song on the guitar or the keyboard. We worship with our life. We worship with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. And so when I worship God, it goes beyond. Chris Moore said it last night, and I loved it. He said, worship is not worship until it leaves the church. You can say you're a worshiper, but if you got to have Sister Becky on the Hammond, and you got to have Sister LaKenya and Sister Rachel up here singing you happy, it's not real worship until you're out there with no band, till you're out there with no singers, till you're the only one on your floor of your job that even believes in Jesus, and you can still say, God, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away. Worship is giving yourself away, not to people, but giving yourself away to Christ first. And when you give yourself away to Christ, God says that is worship. And if worship creates a space for God to work, worship creates a place for God to reside, which means in my worship, when I worship like I'm supposed to, the God that steps into my life never leaves. Some of us, our lives are roller coasters, and we're blaming it on people. We're blaming it on position. We're blaming it on life. We're blaming it on the adversary. And we should be blaming it on our praise and our worship stopped on Sunday. And so we're up on Sunday, down on Monday and Tuesday, up on Wednesday, down on Thursday. Conference time, we soar, and then we plummet like a rock back down through the galaxy to this place called Earth. I'm here to tell you that once Jesus showed up at my house and the blessing and favor of God was there, I said, God, what did I do to deserve this? Why did you show up here? I came first because you praised me, because you called me here, but I stayed because every day, every time when I start packing up my suitcase, I hear you in that closet and you're saying, hallelujah, praise be to God. God, there is no one like you. And I was getting ready to move out and I heard you say, God, there is no rival or equal to who you are. And I had to unpack again. And so a long time ago, I told God, get rid of the suitcase. You're never leaving the Fender house, because as long as I have breath in my body, I'm a worshiper. I'm a praiser. I got you here and You're not leaving.
You're not leaving.
Turn to your neighbor and tell him he's not leaving. Number three, worship creates a connection that cannot be broken. I'm talking about real worship. I was up this morning, 5:30, to go feed the horses. It's 30 minutes out, 30 minutes back in. For one solid hour, I listened to the same song on repeat. It's a song called Tremble. And I'm talking, I was driving 75 miles down the highway. We'll just say 75. It's raining. And I can't sing like LaKenya and Rachel, but I give my best. And I'm going to tell you what, Shekinah settled in that truck. And I started feeling things that I didn't feel when I woke up. I started hearing things from God that I ain't heard all week. And God said, Brandon, it's taken an hour alone in your truck. And listen, You can have that every day. I encourage you, get you some worship music. Get it on your iPod. You don't have to have a long playlist. Put that thing on shuffle. Put it on repeat. Get you something that speaks to your spirit and let that worship create a place for God to work, create a place for God to reside, and create a connection that cannot be broken. I promise you, if you fill your car with worship on the way to your 9 to 5 tomorrow, nothing can happen between 9 and 5 to get your focus off of Jesus. Take an hour for lunch, go and eat for 30 minutes, then crack open that Bible, read a little bit and worship a little bit. You say, well, I can't have my iPod out at work. You don't need an iPod to worship. You've got your voice. You don't have to scream and holler. You don't have to roll in the floor, but you can say, God, I thank you for this day. Look at what you're doing through me, God. You are an awesome God. Look at this job I have. I shouldn't even have this job. I didn't go to college. I didn't get a degree, but look at what you've done for me. You've got me here for purpose. You've got me here for destiny. You've got me here for something, God. And all you're worshiping. And every time God says, it's time to go, he hears you. He says, I can't go. I'm connected. I'm connected. I was going to save it for another sermon, but let's just break it down real quick. When the man called Legion, who was possessed with thousands of spirits, he began to worship Jesus. He began to worship Jesus before he had been set free. He fell down, and what happened? The demons could not stand the worship, and so the demons left. Can I just go just a little bit farther and tell you that Lucifer was created to worship? The man we call the devil and Satan used to be the greatest worshiper on the planet. And so the demons that left with Lucifer, they were the best choir and the best praisers and worshipers in heaven. And so when the demons today hear Brandon worship, it reminds them that they are fallen angels. It reminds them that they don't have a place nor authority. And so when Legion shows up at the Fender House and we begin to worship, I remind the devil, I do what you do, what you did better than you. God still responds to my worship. God still shows up, and you got about 3 hallelujahs to get your tail out my life before the God of my salvation shows up. Matthew 6:6. Let me hurry through this. Matthew 6:6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon, we're talking about making room. Simon the leper, there came in him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. And so we know that there is a precious box, and we know that there is a precious ointment. There's a precious oil within that box. Worship is precious because worship is what we were created to do. So when we worship, God says they're fulfilling creative purpose. When we worship Jesus as the King of the Kings and the Lord of all the Lords, God gets so excited because he says they've tapped into their creative purpose. What you do and who you are completely two different things. You might work at Chase Bank. You might have the title of a banker, but you were created to be a worshiper. So you're not a banker, you're a worshiping banker. If you work at Walmart and you're a cashier, you're not a cashier, you're a worshiping cashier. You say, well, right now, my husband's at work and I'm staying home with the kids, or my wife's at work and I'm staying home with the kids. You're not a stay-at-home dad. You're a worshiping stay-at-home dad. You say, well, Pastor Brandon, I don't have a job. I'm just a student. You're not a student. You're a worshiping student. You're a worshiping football player. You're a worshiping volleyball player. You're a worshiping. You say, well, I'm unemployed. You're a worshiping person that's unemployed now, but you're headed to fulfilled employment with a great salary. I am a worshiper first, which means if I show up to my job and I'm supposed to be there at 8:30, I got to worship before 8:30. I'm a worshiper first. When I show up on Sundays, all of this, as awesome as it is, it's a supplement. It's not where I get my strength. I can dance with them. I can shout with them. I can sing with them. They can help me press in. But this is not the first time I've worshiped today. This won't be the last time I've worshiped today. I am a worshiper first. I am a worshiper last. I wake up worshiping God. I go to sleep worshiping God. And because I worship, remember, I've created space. I've created a place. And I've created a connection. Very precious ointment, very precious in the alabaster box. We tend to fill, listen to this, we tend to fill the voids in our life, the empty places, with what we assign value to. So the woman at the well assigned value to men. And so she had five husbands, was living with one who was not her husband, and the void that she was filling was a lack of love, and so she assigned value to men that she should never assign value to. What do you value in your life? Whatever you assign value to, you worship. Let me say that again. I thought I'd get a better amen on Sunday. Maybe that's Wednesday preaching. Whatever you assign value to, you worship. That's why when Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he did not talk to her about her husbands. He mentioned the husband so that she would know that he's a prophet. But what was 99% of their dialogue about? Worship. He said, you don't have a man problem. You have a worship problem. You don't have a money problem. You have a worship problem. You don't have problems with your kids. You have a worship problem. You can't get a job. It's not a job or career thing. It's a worship thing. That's why sometimes when I pray, and I say, God, give me, this is what I need you to do. God starts a discourse on worship. And I say, hold on, God, I think you misunderstood me. We're not talking about worship right now. We're talking about money. And God said, no, we're not talking about money. Money's a symptom. Worship is the source or a lack thereof. Because if you don't worship me, you don't know me. And if you don't know me, how dare you ask of me that? I'm about to preach myself happy. But because I know God, I worship God. And while I worship God, he solves the money crisis. He solves the family crisis. He solves the depression crisis. Because I know him. God, I need a job. God, I'm not going to be able to pay my rent, my light, my car note. I can't do all that. And God says, well, let's talk about your worship. No, God, I don't want to talk about worship. I want to talk about what I need. God says, I want to talk about what I need. I shared with Living Way Launch last Sunday. When was the last time that you prayed a prayer to God saying, God, what can I do for you today? Is there some worship? Is there a place that I've left unturned that I could offer some more faith, offer some more praise, offer some more worship? She assigned value to the ointment and the box. And there is something missing in this young lady's life. And she approaches Jesus with this precious box, with this precious ointment, and pours it on his head. We should fill the voids in our life with what God assigns value to, which is worship. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? This account is recorded 3 times in the Gospels with this particular Mary in this particular house. John's account in John chapter 12 tells us that it was not all of the disciples only, but he names one disciple. And guess who that disciple was? Judas. Judas was the money keeper. The Bible says he held the purse. So he was out there managing the money for Jesus' ministry, making sure that everything was taken care of. And so some of the disciples are grumbling when this woman comes out in an extreme act of worship, takes what is valuable, takes what is precious, takes what she has assigned value to, even though it's the wrong thing, and she uses what she assigns value to as her worship. Meaning she brings the good, the bad, the ugly, and she breaks it over. She breaks what is precious to her and says, what is precious to me is no more. And I break what was precious to me over God. And now God takes the place of what I thought was precious. The disciples have indignation. Understand this. They're always going to say, what waste is this worship? Worship to God is never a waste. Ever. Ever. Worship is never a waste. When you worship in this altar, who cares what the back row thinks? When you work, you say, well, what about first-time guests? We'll handle that. We want to do things in decency and in order. But if somebody's worship in here offends you, take that up with God. It's worship to Him. They're not worshiping you. Don't get the Judas spirit. Don't try to shut it down. Don't try to legislate how they can do it and why they can do it. Here this woman is, and she and Judas says, we could have sold it and given the money to the poor. They'll always call worship waste. There are people that saw us worshiping in here today, perhaps, that said, that's a waste, too much. Worship to God is never a waste. People will always call worship waste when it's not directed to them or things on this earth. We worship the Creator, not the creation, and it drives people crazy. Verse 9, for this ointment, he said, might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Judas wants to make it more about a social issue than a spiritual issue. And I believe, as a man of God, as the church, and as our nation, that we should be cognizant and we should not be naive to the social issues. But I am here to tell you, social issues are a byproduct and they are a symptom of spiritual issues. And when we deal with the spirit, the social will fall into line. This is what Jesus says, the poor you will have with you always, but I will not always be here with you. Verse 12. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verse 13, verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel is preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman hath done. He told it for a memorial of her. I love this. Worship is eternal. Worship is eternal. I shared this, I think it was on Wednesday, maybe last Sunday. This is just a revelation that God showed me. Everything that God has done in my life is not past tense, it's present tense. God saved me and His salvation keeps working. God heals you, His healing keeps working. If God healed you of cancer 10 years ago, you're still here to heal today because God's healing didn't happen on that day. It continues to happen. And receiving the miracle is one part. Walking and living in the miracle is something completely different. So what God does is eternal. When God saved me, it's from here to heaven. When God heals you, it's from here to heaven. When God delivers you, it's from here to heaven. If you want to jump out of His hand, that's on you. But I'm here to tell you that whatever God does is repetitious, it is habitual, and it is eternal. The miracles of God never ends, but I love this. My worship never ends. I've got worship that's still working in my life that I gave in 2006. I got worship. You say, well, then why worship? Because the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. And I'm combining the new and the old. That's Joel chapter 2, the latter rain and the former rain together. If my worship is eternal and continues to work for me, and it does all of these things that have happened in my life, why would I not want to put, as the song says, a new praise on it? Why would I not want to put a new worship on it? What I did in 2006, I'm still shouting about because it still works. But here in 2018, 12 years later, I put a fresh praise on it this morning. I put a worship on it. I slathered that thing up and said, God, I've got yesteryear's worship working for me. I got today's worship for me. I'm going to worship you tomorrow, and all that worship's going forth, and God stays right in the middle of it. He said, Judas, everybody's going to remember you for your failure. Everybody's going to remember this woman, Mary, for her worship. When she gets to the gates that are pearl, they're going to meet her and say, you're the worshiper. We've heard about you. We heard when you worship, you emptied heaven. When you worship, angels left. When you worship, Jesus got off of His throne and inhabited your worship. When you worship, we know when Brandon starts to worship because heaven empties out. We know when Living Way starts to worship because angels snap to attention. We know that warfare is happening in the spirit. Can I encourage you, worship with your life, worship with your voice, but don't make it a Sunday thing. We always quit preaching this text right here, but let's go further as the praise team comes. Verse 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests, and he said unto them, what will you give me if I deliver Jesus unto you? And they coveted with him 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says he left seeking an opportunity to betray him. Judas is the one who said, the money she's giving is wasteful. The money she spent on that worship act is a waste of time. It's a waste of money. We should have had it to give it to the poor. Judas lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, walked with him, talked with him, saw all of his miracles, perhaps shouted about miracles, perhaps clapped Jesus on the back, shook his hand and said, I've never seen anything like that done before. You are awesome. No one is like you. Perhaps all of those things happened, but Judas never emptied himself out. And he assigned value to the wrong things. And because he assigned value to the wrong things, Brother Leslie, he never let them go. And because he never let them go, every word Jesus preached fell on deaf ears. Why? Because he was filled up with himself. He was filled up with humanism. He was filled up with religion. He was filled up with things that were not supposed to be there. And when Jesus would teach, when Jesus would preach, when Jesus would work a miracle, it would fall on deaf ears, fall on deaf eyes. Why? Because he never emptied himself out so that he could receive the fullness and the overflowing abundance of Jesus Christ, which is why Jesus Christ came to this earth. A woman shows up that's known Jesus less time. Spent less time with Jesus. And here she comes with her box. White marble that she literally crashes down, breaks, and uses that oil to anoint Jesus for his burial. She took what was valuable to her, what she had assigned value to, and she gave it to Jesus. Jesus said, forever we'll remember you. For the annals of time, you'll be talked about, preached about in a flattering manner. Judas leaves this session to go to the authorities. And the same Judas that was complaining about not having enough money for the poor is talking about, how much money will you give me to betray Christ? 30 pieces is what they coveted. He left and sought an opportunity to betray him. This is a real statement that I'm about to make. You are either looking for opportunities to worship Christ, or you're searching for opportunities to betray him. Your hands are either lifted high, worshiping, or your hands are down at your side looking for an opportunity. You say, I would never betray Jesus. You might not betray him like Judas did, but you can betray him by getting your eyes focused on other things. Your hands touching and focused on other things. Here this woman said, this is all I've got, but I give you everything that I have. And here Judas said, I kept everything I've had and I want more. Those two attitudes. It killed one, it exalted one, punished one, promoted one. Your worship, and is this a sermon to get worship even deeper, more meaningful, a living way than it has been? Of course it is. But again, what you do here until it leaves the four walls of this church, it's an act. It's something you step into and step out of. But as you stand on your feet today, I want you to be encouraged with this. Whether you've known God for 5 minutes or 5 decades, you're created to be a worshiper. Whether you've ever worshiped God or not, you can start today. Say, what do I have to do? What do I have to say? Do I have to come down front? You can do whatever you want to do. You can say whatever you want to say, but there is a power in the approach. You read this account in the Bible, Simon the leper is just chilling, lean back, reclining, one translation says, and he's eating the food, and the disciples are scattered about the living space, and there it's just like a barbecue and a family reunion. And here this woman comes, I'm sure trembling, not looking to the left nor right. She said, I'm here for one reason. I'm approaching Jesus to worship and to prepare. And I end with this. She was preparing him for his burial that preceded his resurrection. Your worship prepares for the resurrection of Jesus and of life into the things that have died around you. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that are true worshipers. That you're going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That it's not about the five husbands. It's not about the lack of money. It's not about the lack of faith. It's all of those things right now. But we just want, do you love Jesus enough to worship Him? Do you love Jesus enough to go next level? Do you love Jesus enough to say, God, I'm going beyond the veil. I've spent too much time on the outer courts. I've spent too much time on the inner courts. But there is a holiest of holy places that I can go into. It's where the mercy seat is. It's where the unencumbered. It is where the raw presence of God is. The presence of God that is so raw and so strong that in the Old Testament, certain people were not allowed back there. A veil separated. It was so strong, but when Jesus died on that cross, the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. Only God could do that. And God ripped that veil apart and said, everybody now has access to the holiest of holy places. If you need an outpouring of God, I want to encourage you to leave your seat and join us in this altar. If you've got cancer cells in your body, leave your seat and come to...